Well, we wrap up Christmas presents, don't we? We like to wrap them up so that the thrill of opening the wrapper and finding what's inside is there. And Christmas, our theme over this last month has been unwrapping Christmas. And today, we've looked at the various beautiful, wonderful things that Christ brought into the world for us through his birth. And we remember that, of course, at Christmas. We remember that he brought hope, he brought peace, he brought joy, and he brought love. And today we're looking at really the gift of Christmas, which is all of those things are really bundled up in one person, Jesus. Because today we remember, as we think of Christmas tomorrow morning, it's just a day that we set aside to remember that God the Son became one of us. He entered into the human race. The only way you can do that is to be born. And the only way to do that as a true human is to be conceived 9 months earlier, which he was by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. God the Father, by his Spirit, caused a miracle in the womb of Mary, whereby 9 months later, the birth of that little one in that manger was none other than God the Son, God in flesh. What a miracle. What an amazing truth. And he brought with him hope and peace and joy and love. So the first thing I want to say is this, that with unwrapping Christmas, you cannot separate the gift from the giver. Marg, when I asked you to marry me, right? Come up here, come up here. Where is it? What did you say? You never said yes. No, I asked you and you said, yes, you did.
I didn't. I got such a surprise. I just nodded. Oh.
Well, at least you nodded. Didn't go like that? Okay, so then I gave you a gift. It wasn't exactly that day. It wasn't long after that, right? And that gift was... I might have lost it. No, let's see it. Got it. The engagement ring, right? Okay, you can put it on now. Now, that was a gift to you, which you received.
Yeah.
But was it just the gift of the engagement ring, or did something else come with it?
You came with it.
So by giving you the gift, it included the giver. Thank you. That's all I needed you to say. Everybody wants the gift that God offers, the gift of hope, eternal hope, the gift of love, the gift of joy, and the gift of peace. Everyone wants it, but you cannot have the gift without the giver. Jesus came into the world. He came to give his life. Yes, to die on the cross to give his life in that way, but to actually give his life to all who put their faith in him. And his life that comes by his Spirit into your heart, when you invite him and trust him to be your Savior, that life of the Spirit, that life of Jesus, comes into your very body and brings peace and joy and hope and love. And all that God gives, his gift is not separate from the giver. To receive him, you receive all that he has for you. I've got a verse from 1 John, the same author that wrote the words we just had read to us earlier. John the Apostle wrote in his letter to the Christians later in his life, not long before he died, and he wrote these words, God has testified, he has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Get it? He gives us life, but that life is in his Son. You can't have the life without the Son. It is his life. And then it goes on to say, whoever has the Son has life. And whoever does not have God's Son does not have God's life. The Christmas gift packaged in a human body was God's life. And he's giving it to all who will receive. But you can't have the gift without the giver. You must invite him. It's like, it's not just going to church and doing stuff and praying prayers and reading the Bible and singing hymns and praise songs. It's receiving him. It's not even being baptized or immunized or anythingized. It is being a person who will receive him. It's a personal reception of a person by his Spirit when you put your faith in him. Life, eternal life, is not separated from the life giver. But the Bible says that we are all alienated from God. In fact, it says in Ephesians 4:18, we've been alienated from the life of God. Remember at the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned and they were cast out of the garden lest they eat of the tree of life. It's symbolic of the fact that they, their life was now just 70, maybe more. Back then it was longer, but now, you know, if you reach 100, you're really doing well. But you've been separated from the source of life. It's like a tree that you take out of your garden and put out in the desert. It's still alive, but it's got a very short... what do you have on products you buy in the supermarket? Shelf life? Well, it's got a very short desert life. Because it's still alive, but it's going to die. And we've been separated from the life of God. He puts us back in the garden when we receive Christ. We are reconnected with the life of God, and we receive his joy and his peace and his love and his hope because we receive his life. And then we find that you cannot earn this gift. It's not something you have to sort of jump over so many things and jump through hoops and do all this stuff and obey God's law and keep his commandments and somehow you'll reach a point where God says, oh yeah, you're good enough now, I'll give you eternal life. In fact, it says this, if salvation could be gained through the law, in other words, keeping all God's commandments, doing as best as you can, if it could be gained that way, Christ died for nothing. It was pointless in dying. He didn't need to die if you could do it yourself. The whole point in him coming was as a child to grow up as a human, and then at an age of 30 or 30, around 30, he went to the cross and died for our sins, to forgive us of all our sins and to make us right with God and give us eternal life. And in 1 John, the words I just read to you before go on to say, and I write these things, John says, to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you might know that you have eternal life. You do not know that you have eternal life if you're trying to keep the law and do good things and somehow reach a standard that God can accept and forgive you and give you life. If you try in your own strength, you'll never be sure that you have eternal life until it's too late. And you won't, because it's not the way. God says, it's not by works, lest anyone should be saved by grace. So he says that you may know that you have eternal life because you believe, you've trusted in Jesus and received his life. And lastly, you cannot experience the gift without receiving it. Any gift. These kids have been receiving gifts over the last few Sundays and then today. And it's not theirs till they take it themselves and they personally unwrap it and receive it. Then it's theirs. No one can say that's not yours. But before that, it's just sitting there, it's a gift, and it could be anybody's. But when it's given to somebody and they receive it, it's theirs. And it's the same with the Lord. He offers himself eternal life, forgiveness, but you have to receive. And you don't receive by being churchy, being Christian-y. you receive by personal faith, inviting him personally. Lord, forgive my sin. I trust you. Jesus died for my sins and rose again. I believe that. Now please forgive me and come into my life. That's a gift received. And you have eternal life. Simple as that. What? Is that what we have to do? Yes. Remember Jesus said, he spoke so often in John's Gospel about giving life. And when he said to the woman at the well about the water of life, he said, you have to receive it. You have to drink this water. Not the physical water. He's talking about his own life given for them. And when he came to giving them bread and talking about being the bread of life, listen to what he said. He said, the bread of God is the bread that came down from heaven and gives life to the world. And in the context, if you read it, he's talking about himself. He said, I am the bread of life. So he's saying, this is the bread of life. Me, the bread of life, is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then he says in verse 58, the bread of God is the bread that comes down to give life to the world, and the one who feeds on me will live because of me. If you receive, if you, like bread, if you take it and eat it, if you receive it, you receive the benefits of that bread. So it is with him. He used bread as an illustration. He wasn't talking about communion or anything like that. He was talking about his, he says, my flesh. He's talking about his death on the cross there, that he was going to die. And as a result of that, those who received him would receive life. And then finally in John 1:12, we had read to us, to all who received him. In the context, it says some, he came to his own people and they didn't receive him. He came to the world, they didn't recognize him. But to any individuals who received him, to them, he gave the right, the power to become children of God. Children of God, having the life of God. Children of God. Are you a child of God? You can receive him tonight. Just like that. Putting your faith in him. Inviting him to come into your life. So it's a dynamic life relationship, not a religion. That's what the real Christian faith is all about.